Welcome to episode 26 of the Reading Coast podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For January 2013, we're discussing Any Bitter Thing by Monica Wood. So hi, I'm Millennia from Florida.
And I'm Roberta from Georgia.
And we are here today to discuss our 146th Cove pick, Any Bitter Thing by Monica Wood. And this was chosen by Cove member Lori. So we pretty much already had our discussion online with everyone in the group, but Roberta and I are just going to share our thoughts for the podcast and for our listeners. So what did you think, Roberta? Because, you know, I was not a fan of Any Bitter Thing. So
No, you were not. That was very evident. Well, it wasn't the best thing I've read in a long time, but I had probably a little bit higher opinion than you did of the book. Mm-hmm. It did have its flaws, but I think the basic premise and themes were interesting. You know, that can someone who's, you know, supposed to have a life of being a father to his whole congregation, can he truly be a father, you know, to a child,
right?
A child of his own. And then looking at the different ways that the Catholic Church, you know, looked at that way of doing things too, and it looked at the issues of people sort of prejudices and misconceived notions and everything. And even though this the original part of this had taken place quite some time ago, it did have issues that the church is still dealing with, you know, with the accusations of abuse from years ago.
Right.
So it did have some things that you could definitely relate to about whether these things really took place or not.
Yeah, I just did not find it engaging. And the past part where Lizzie was young and her parents had been killed and she goes to live with her uncle, that I found, I was more interested in that. But the book stayed in the present day, and then it was like you were getting most of that through her just telling you about it, sort of.
Her past memories, yes.
Yeah, her memories and stuff. And then, you know, but the present day stuff was just so bland. And her relationship with the bad Samaritan, the guy who moved her off the road, I forget his name.
Harry.
Yeah, that relationship was so awkward. Their first meeting and, you know, the way she decided to go with him to his apartment, and then she keeps visiting him, and then she's not telling her husband or anybody. And I don't know. I think I just did not like the writing style. That was my problem. I found it very snoozy. It didn't engage me much at all. There was one line in the beginning that I really liked that I shared with the group. I don't remember it right now. Something about memories.
Right.
And I liked that line, but the writing style just wasn't for me. Wasn't my cup of tea. And I also thought there were way too many, like, tragedies in the mix. The way that Lizzie's parents were killed, and then her friend, what's her name, Mariette. There was like tragedy with her. There was just too much tragedy. Like, it was just, I don't know. It was just heaped on too much, I guess, for me.
Yeah, they all did lead some pretty sad lives.
Yeah.
Not that doesn't happen, but I think I would have liked it even better, as you said, if there had been more concentration on Lizzie's life in the past.
Yes.
Rather than the present day. You could have left some up to the present day, seeing how the things from the past had affected her marriage, which of course they had. You know, you just mm-hmm. can't get away from that. I'm sure she had, they didn't really, I don't know if they called it so much that, but she really probably had major abandonment issues and had a hard time probably being as close to her husband as she needed to be, because she had been torn from one situation to another, from losing her parents to losing Father Mike, and then her aunt, you know, pretty much just like, oh, well, what can I do but take her in? But she just kind of shuffled her off, and she certainly wasn't very
maternal. She wasn't
maternal
nurturing.
Or nurturing. Well, I mean, she had her hands full with all those boys. My goodness.
Yeah.
That you know, you can't be too hard on her because she really already had her hands full and have some one more person dropped into her already stressful life. You could see that she wouldn't always have a good attitude, whether she should or not. But
right.
You know. You can kind of understand that she wasn't going to be real happy. She didn't want to, you know, accept the situation with open arms because it didn't seem like she complained too much about Vivian and, you know, the father helping out, you know, the little girl. It was okay by her because, you know, she thought, well, you know, I don't have to fool with one more mouth to
exactly.
feed and everything.
she was relieved.
She wasn't the one like, oh, no, this is a bad situation. This doesn't look good or whatever. She was like, oh, good. You know, almost like you could feel her sigh of relief from her.
Yep. But, yeah, and even with when I said there was too many tragedies, when Lizzie gets hit by a car and left for dead, here's a girl whose parents are killed when she was just a wee baby or a little girl. And, you know, now she, as an adult, she gets hit by a car driven by some teenager and left for dead in the middle of the road. You know, and then the friend, it started going into her friend's tragedy with her father and her mom and all this stuff. And I was just like, I don't know. I guess I don't feel like it was really told well.
Yeah,
enough
I mean,
for me to be engaged with
it. The premises were good, yeah.
Yeah.
But it could have, I agree that there could have been a little bit more different way of showing more than just telling in that case and not, I mean, I think she meant to the author meant to tear at your heartstrings. It's talking about any bitter thing. So there's some pretty bitter things, to deal with in there. And
that's a line from is it Shakespeare or from the Bible? The title it comes from. I think it's in maybe a quote from scripture.
I think you're right, but I can't think of right off the top of my head. But yeah, it's most of these books you find more and more are, you know, quotes from either Shakespeare or biblical quotes. So they seem to fit so many situations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the one thing you can say is the author definitely showed these people there was no, you know, hero, there was no heroine. They all had an awful lot of baggage, really heavy baggage, they, you know, and guilt they had to deal with in one way or another. That, and then you kind of felt sorry for Harry because at first you think he was doing the right thing, but really I think he just felt like, well, maybe if I do this, it'll make up for some of the horrible things that I've done in the past. And he, like you said, Lizzie reminded him a little bit of his daughter. So
right.
He felt he was doing a good thing there. But the poor man, you know, besides having the long-term alcohol issues, that it seemed like he was just a pathological liar. You just didn't know what
to believe.
To believe. You could see no wonder he'd had all these, you know, bad relationships.
Yeah, and why he didn't want to. I was, you know, kind of suspicious of him because it's like he moved her out of the road and took off, and then the reason he's giving when he gets in touch with her, however much time had passed before he decided to track her down, and then he explains to her why he took off, and it's like, I don't know if I trusted him. You know, I was like, kind of worry of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing was he knew if he stuck around for the police, they'd notice that he wasn't exactly sober.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he said even at that time he still had a suspended license. So,
right.
You know, he knew he would be in big trouble if he hung around. You know, but I don't think he was too torn about it. I think he was like, okay, I'm going to do the good thing. Put her over here off the road. At least she doesn't get squished again. And, you know, hopefully somebody else will, you know, come take care of her soon.
Yeah.
But,
and there was a lot of discussion in the group about what's the lady's name who found Lizzie in her uncle's bed and made, you know, issue
of
it?
What's her name?
Hansen. Yeah.
Mrs. Hansen.
So there was a lot of discussion in the group about whether or not she was, about her character and whether she was well-intended or what everybody made of her. And I think most people thought that she was just a busybody.
Yeah, because from what the author tells you and just from what you can glean yourself, mm-hmm. she was very unhappy once Father Mike was in charge. Because she was used, like most of us, she was used to her old routine mm-hmm. with the former, you know, head priest. And she just liked things that way. She liked a set a schedule and routine, and then all of a sudden here comes this priest that's really not the typical type of priest, and
right.
then she has to deal with this child too, and she was just really unhappy. So I think she was looking from the get-go for some way to get rid of this situation, because she just wasn't happy
right.
at all. And if she'd really, really been concerned, whether this was a long while back or now, because now they have laws, if you believe someone's being abused and you don't report it, you know, then you can be liable yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't report it. Because she took her own good time trying to bring this forward. They even asked her at the hearing or whatever you want to call it, why hadn't she come forward any sooner if she suspected this? So I think she just was trying to wait until the right moment when it would look the very worst for things, and then she could just, you know, get out of the situation and hopefully get another old-fashioned priest in there that was more to her way of liking, her way of routine.
Right. And then I thought it was kind of sad that Lizzie went all those years thinking that her uncle was dead.
Right.
And he wasn't.
I mean, that was horrible for them to tell her that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know if they would have been in any contact, because maybe the way it sounded later on, once they did find him, that he really was trying to make a whole new life for himself and separate himself from all his previous life and background, and of course too, you know, he had the guilt because basically he was an accessory to murder. So mm-hmm. it'd probably be a good idea to get as far away from the scene, so if any of that came to light, that he would be long gone and less likely to be prosecuted.
Right.
It was better for people to think he was gone or dead.
Right.
And I don't know how, I mean, I know the guy was, Vivian's husband was abusive and horrible and everything, but I don't know how she could raise her daughter and go forward knowing, you know, that she had murdered this man, even if it was for a good reason,
good reason
in her mind.
And then to ask Father Mike to, you know, help her. A lot of group members thought it was very, you know, selfish of her to do that.
It was, because it put him in a really bad position. It wasn't just like, it would be one thing if she had done it herself and then came to him in confession.
Yeah.
Because that would be, even though it would be a horrible thing, that
he's not involved.
Said, yeah, everything that's said in confession is you know,
kept in confidence. Yeah.
Yes, in confidence. They really can't go forward. But once she had him do that, like I said, he was basically an accessory. He knew what had happened, and he was part of it. So, you know, they were forever kind of tied in this horrible, you know, scheme
mm-hmm.
to make her life better. Of course, I guess in the long run, maybe if she could push the guilt aside, just thinking that she and her child were able to have a better life without this, you know, abusive, crazy guy.
Right. So did you have any scenes that stick out?
Well, like I said, probably the, as you were saying, that I think probably when Lizzie meets Harry's daughter, and then she finds out a little bit more about Harry, about, you know, what he's all about. So it gave her a new perspective. But at the same time, maybe she understood, you know, more why he had done what he had done and not done what somebody else might have been helped, like a car accident scene like that.
Right.
So, but I mean, because Elaine, that, you know, she loved her father, but she kind of knew that he was flawed, but she didn't totally push him out of her life. You know, she tried. She kind of seemed like she went in and out of his life as he needed her, but was a little bit protective of herself because she knew what he was like, and she didn't expect too much of him, not like his former wives.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you? What was your thing that stuck in your mind the most?
There's really nothing.
Really nothing.
No, because I, like I said, I read the first 100 pages and then I skimmed through to the end. I just couldn't take it. I've just been really, you know, not having as much time to read. So the patience that I may have been able to give before, I just can't anymore.
Yeah, you
if
have
it doesn't
to.
Grip me.
Right.
Then, right. Yeah. I just don't have the time to kind of give it anymore. So, yeah, I just skimmed through after the first 100 pages. I was really bored with it.
Well, and I guess I could see that it had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
The book did. It had a lot of themes and issues to make you think about. But it could have been an even better book if it was just sort of written a little bit differently or shown different perspectives.
Definitely.
On the characters, I said, and the other thing I, you know, you think about after all this, that since the whole thing with Lizzie getting hit was because her, you know, she found out her husband was probably going to leave her. You just wonder after this that it seems like things are better, but you wonder after she's really truly healed up, would he, you know, possibly fly the coop again or try to fly the coop again?
Yeah, because he had apparently moved on in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think he felt like he couldn't just, it would be too awful to leave her when she was in such bad shape.
Oh, yeah.
And,
especially once the accident happened and she was so badly hurt,
that he would have been a real dog if he had taken off. And, yeah.
But, yeah, he wouldn't, I don't think, I think it gave their marriage the second chance.
Yeah, so you kind of have to be hopeful that maybe this tragedy would lead to something good for them, and they'd, you know, have a new appreciation for each other. And then once she found out that Father Mike was alive, then that would sort of help heal some of her previous issues, and she'd be able to move on with other things too. Because she definitely, I mean, I think she was using Harry as her therapist, but she really needed somebody with a little bit more skills than Harry.
Yeah.
Harry was a good listener, but I don't think he could give her the feedback she really needed to
get back on track. If she'd ever been on track, because I mean, her judgment was kind of off, and it's odd that she was a school guidance counselor.
Right.
Because, you know, her judgment, like you were saying, you know, picking Harry, trying to use him as her therapy and stuff, you know, I don't know if I'd want her counseling my kid.
No, I know. Even though she seemed to be, I think she thought maybe that she could help this girl after she'd dealt with a lot of, you know, difficult things as a child. So she kind of felt connected to her a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to be our take on Any Bitter Thing. Thank you, as always, for listening. And please continue to leave us your comments. And stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be discussing one I'm really looking forward to, Awaken by Katie Kavinsky. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.